Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio, with your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
And blessings. You are listening into Conversations with the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss anything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing comedic yoga with our special guest, Yasir Rahotep. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget, if you miss a show, you can always come and check us back on the archives here on blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. Also, check out Conversations with the Queen on our Facebook group, and don't forget to like our fan page. For all my queens out there, while you're on the net, be sure to check out our newest blog, queendompost.blogspot. The Queendom is a movement dedicated to uplifting the first teachers and the first classroom, the womb man. It's time to bring back greatness by uplifting our queens. So if you want to check that out again, that is queendompost, queendompost.blogspot.com, and definitely check us out on there, okay? So if you're familiar with the show, you know we always started out with two things, our monthly yoga pose, and then we normally get into our weekly affirmation. So our monthly yoga pose for the month of January, which is just the last week, so it will be choosing a new yoga pose soon. This month's yoga's position is the extended side angle pose. So extended side angle is pretty much a really good pose, and it has a lot of different benefits. It tones the abdominal organs, stimulates digestion, helps with gastritis, corrects faulty posture, and relieves the problems that are associated with a sedentary lifestyle. So I'd like to open up the energies of the show with a good, nice, beautiful affirmation that will allow us to clear out the negative energy and bring in a peaceful and wonderful aura. So I've written this affirmation myself, as I do each week, and write all these affirmations myself. Okay. Affirmation for, and a mantra at the end, for peace. I'm laying it all down, ridding myself of all ties and roles that lead to negativity. I am triumphant in the destruction of these energies in my life. So I call upon my own inner strength and divinity, as well as the name of my ancestors, to bring forth and help me birth the fruits of my labor for peace of mind and harmony in my personal, financial, physical, mental, and spiritual existence. So I release and exhale all that was tying me to the lower realms that of their existence, and by my word and affirmation, I am free. Om Vatra Satwa Hong. Okay? And that at the end, that's a mantra that you can use to clear out negative energy and bring in a lot of harmony, balance, and peace. I'd also like to remind everybody that to take notes and just be diligent. So without further ado, I am going to bring on Brother Yasir, and we are going to get this show rolling. Brother Yasir, are you on the line? Hello? Hello? Brother Yasir, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm very, very good and very, very excited to have you on the show.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
It's funny because when I asked you to come on the show, I wasn't very, very familiar with your work. I just saw that you were a comedic yoga instructor, and I really wanted to have somebody come on the show and deal with yoga. And then this weekend, I did some research, and I am just like, wow. You are an amazing person, definitely a master at your craft, and definitely, you know, somebody who I would love to have come on and share this information with my listeners. So I'm very, very, very grateful that you decided to take this time out of your busy schedule and share it with us.
Yes, well, I appreciate you, and I'm really happy to be here and to be able to share a little bit of information I have, you know, with your, you know, with you and your guests, or with you and your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. So I'd like to open up the show by really having everybody get acquainted with who you are. You know, just give a little bit about your background and how you came into practicing yoga.
Well, about 35 years or so or more, I was introduced to comedic yoga. And the reason why I got into yoga was really not even because I was interested in yoga. I just had a friend who persuaded me to try this yoga class. And prior to that, I had became a vegan, a vegetarian. I stopped eating meat. I started to, I just got into like a really healthy lifestyle. And because I just wanted to heal myself, you know, I just wanted to get rid of all my bad habits and heal my body and my mind and stuff. But I really didn't know anything about yoga. And so the first yoga class that I went to was with my teacher, whose name is Azar Hapi. And the class that I went to, I really couldn't do anything at first except for what we call the mummy pose. The mummy pose is just when you lay on the floor and you just let your body get still and then you breathe and relax. Mm-hmm. So other than that, my body was really stiff. You know, I really couldn't do a lot of the different positions and stuff. And but I felt so good after I took this first class, they just motivated me to want to keep doing it. And the more I learned about yoga, I understood that it was something that would help to give you longevity. You know, it's something that would help to give you health and to increase your wellness status. So that motivated me to continue to practice. So my first year of doing yoga, I would practice every day for about 8 hours a day, 8 to 12 hours a day. And, you know, because I felt like because the benefits of it were so powerful that it would be good to make that investment, you know, in myself. So at that time, I was around 22 or 23 years old when I first started. So I felt that when I got older, which I'm still moving towards getting older, that my body would be healthy and I would get the benefits of being of remaining youthful. So that's what sort of motivated me to continue to practice yoga and to do it for this long. And my teacher encouraged me to start teaching, and I really didn't have any intention or desire to be a teacher, but he sort of encouraged me to teach because he was sort of moving away from teaching. And so I just started teaching, and one thing led to another thing, and it just became like a career that I've had for some years now.
Mhm. Well, that's a very good way to get into yoga. That's actually why I sought out to start doing yoga for myself, because, you know, it's just so many health benefits, but as you get into it, you realize all the other things that it can do for you as well, clearing up your mental and helping your spirit to become balanced. So that's really wonderful. Would you like to give a little background on what you do now and your business and things like that, things of that nature, and any type of, you know, events that you definitely have going on?
Well, the name of my business is called Yoga Skills. And so I sort of named it Yoga Skills. My website is yogaskills.com. And I sort of used that name because I feel like that there are a wide variety of skills that a person should acquire, you know, through their practice of yoga. So you're not just doing yoga because you want to get more flexible and, you know, get a workout in. You know, you're really practicing yoga to develop your mind and your body and to acquire various types of skills that would enhance your ability to focus, to concentrate, to use your mind in such a way that you don't, that you do not become distracted, that you can be very purposeful in what you do. You can remain very focused in everything that you do. And you can develop, the, you know, skills like patience, self-control. You know, those are your yoga skills. So when you practice yoga, those are the things that you want to get from it. And so that's why we call the business Yoga Skills. And so the style of yoga that I teach is called Kemetic Yoga. And so Kemetic Yoga is ancient Egyptian. So the people of ancient Egypt were people who practiced and, you know, developed the system what we call yoga. Yoga is practiced in other cultures around the world. We mostly associate it as being part of Indian culture. But it's really something that, you know, is present in Africa in various forms, and it was present in ancient Egypt, possibly even before it was present in India, since ancient Egypt was the oldest civilization, you know, that we know of in, you know, in terms of current history. So what I do now is, in addition to doing workshops, I travel around the country. I travel to other countries around the world. I do workshops and trainings for people. I also do teacher training and certification. So I run courses where people can become certified as Kemetic Yoga instructors. And our certification program is recognized by this organization called Yoga Alliance, which it seems that a lot of people want to be registered with Yoga Alliance. So we've registered our yoga school with Yoga Alliance. So we do those trainings. We do those trainings in different parts of the country. We also do them in Jamaica twice a year. So Friday, February 4th, I'm leaving for Jamaica to do a training there for 10 days. And we have people coming from various parts of the United States and other countries who attend that training. So we have people from Europe, you know, we have people from the Caribbean, you know, we have people from Africa coming, you know, as well as people from all over the United States coming to take those trainings. So far we have about 200 people around the world who have become certified in Kemetic Yoga. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I've also produced a number of instructional yoga DVDs. So people can go to the website and they can purchase these DVDs at yogaskills.com. And the DVDs actually teach you how to practice yoga. So you can look at your DVD player on your computer and you can practice at home. We also have meditation CDs. So we have guided meditation CD where a person can listen to this for like, it's like five different levels of meditation. And you can listen to the CD, and it'll teach you how to meditate. And they have music in the background that'll help you to relax and focus. What else do we do? We do corporate yoga where we go into different companies or different social service agencies, and we work with the employees, and we do that under our stress management and wellness programs. So we offer stress management and wellness to various companies, from large companies, large corporations to small companies. And also social service agencies. We have programs in public schools working with children. We have programs in Head Start and daycare programs working with even small children. You know, the youngest children I work with have been, just several months old, and so working with those kids, we sort of just move their bodies and we do certain techniques, so the kids, they can't get on the floor and do yoga on their own. But we actually do, like, various types of stretches and movements with their body that we sort of take their bodies into these different positions, and it helps to increase their blood circulation. It helps to soothe them, to help them to relax, and helps them to sort of feel secure and at ease within themselves. So we do a lot of different stuff, and I've been doing this since I've been working with children, which the children are my favorite group of people to work with, children and elders. But I've been working with children since 1979.
That's wonderful. So if somebody were interested in any of those services, they would just go on your website, or how would they get in contact with you?
Yeah, they can go on the website at yogaskills.com, and they can see the various, programs that we have there. If a person wants to call me, they can call me toll-free. My toll-free number is 888-599-YOGA, Y-O-G-A, which is 9642, so like 888-599-9642. And y'all can also be reached by email at yasir@yogaskills.com. And Yasir is Y-I-R-S-E-R at yogaskills.com. And we also, I forgot to mention, we also have a trip. We have an annual trip to Egypt or Kemet every year. And, we went last year. We're going to go this year from July 24th until August 4th. So we spend about 10 days over in Egypt, and that's also listed on the website. If you go to the website, you'll see that the price is $37.95, but we have reduced the price because our costs have gone down a little bit, so we reduced the cost a little bit. So the cost is going to be like about $3,500. So, those are things that we're doing, and that's my contact information.
Okay. Well, sounds wonderful, and I hope anybody who is definitely interested, especially after listening to this show, that you do go check the brother out, like you said, at yogaskills.com, yoga as it's spelled, skills as it's spelled, .com. And you do have a fan page as well. So if you're on Facebook and you would like to like that fan page, that's a good way to start. So,
yeah, the fan page is Yoga Skills, or you can just, you can just search Kemetic Yoga, or you can just search Yoga Skills on Facebook, and you'll find me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you explained what Kemet was and a little bit about Kemetic Yoga. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that somebody who's listening might have. How does Kemetic Yoga differ from other forms of yoga?
Well, you know, essentially, you know, yoga is yoga. And so first we need to define what exactly yoga is in itself, because most of the time we think of yoga as being, you know, the physical aspect of yoga in terms of doing the different movements and postures, or what they call the asanas. But yoga is a complete system of self-development. The first two principles of yoga are abstaining from negative actions and behaviors and thoughts, and engaging in positive actions, behaviors, and thoughts. So you can practice yoga without even ever having to do the various positions and stuff, you know. And so kinetic yoga is based upon the ancient Egyptian or kinetic ethical system, which we call Ma'at. And so Ma'at recognizes that there are laws that govern the universe, and that we as human beings are obligated, if we want to have success in our lives, to become in tune to that harmony, to become in tune with that universal order. And so we need to live our lives in a way that we are in harmony with those principles of Ma'at. And so there are like approximately like 42 different, you know, ones of these principles, but the principles really are overarching, you know, ideas about the way that the universe is structured and what our place is in the universe and how we get made in harmony and balance with it. So the word Ma'at means universal balance, harmony, justice, and reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
And so in understanding that foundation of philosophy in spiritual science, we get into the various practices that are associated with yoga. And so those practices are going to be movements and postures, controlled deep breathing, meditation, proper diet and nutrition. Because the idea is that if there is a universal order to everything, one of the things that I as a human being need to do in order to be in harmony with that universal order is to maintain my body, my mind, and my spiritual self at a high level of excellence. And so therefore, I'm not going to consume things which are unhealthy for me. I'm going to do the various movements and practices that's associated with yoga. Now, those movements and postures, which we call hatha yoga, we call them different positions or whatever you want to call them, those practices are meant to create health in your physical body by increasing your blood circulation, by stimulating your internal organs to keep the organs healthy and functioning at a high level of efficiency, by keeping the nervous system balanced. We have two parts of the nervous system. One part is called the sympathetic. The other one is called the parasympathetic. The sympathetic deals with your stress response. The parasympathetic deals with your relaxation response. So when we practice yoga, we are actually stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your relaxation response. And so it's very important that we, you know, that we understand that and that we maintain that type of connection. So when we do the deep breathing, when we do meditation, we are actually stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is causing the relaxation response to take place. It's causing the production of various hormones and neurotransmitters like dopamine and other type of internal chemical compounds like that, that actually helps to bring about a transcendent state of consciousness. It takes us to a state of deep relaxation, a state of deep focus, and so on and so forth, you know. So part of that whole science of, number one, having a philosophy and an understanding of the nature of the universe and our place in it. That's the first principle of yoga. And then being able to understand how I need to behave on an ethical level, on a moralistic level, and on a common sense level in terms of understanding, you know, the law of cause and effect, that whatever I do is going to have an effect. So I want to do things that's only going to bring back a positive effect back to me. So that helps to govern your behavior. And then we do the movements and postures. Now, the movements and postures that we see in kinetic yoga are unique. We see in kinetic yoga, there are many of the same poses and postures that you see in regular Indian yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But at the same time, we have movements and postures which are very unique, because those movements and postures are the poses that we see the ancestors and the different, what I call the Netaru. The Netaru represent different aspects of nature, okay? So you can look at nature as being divided into different functions. So different forces in nature carry out different functions, and that's what our ancestors called the Netaru. And so you see these forces personified in a human form, and they are doing various postures or yogic positions. We use the word yoga, which is an Indian word, because we really don't know exactly what word that they use for those different postures. Even though some people say that some people put different words to it, but the exact word that the actual ancestors use, we don't know what word they use for those postures. So we just use the word yoga.
Okay.
Because they have yogic effects. And those movements and postures are very healing to the physical body, and they balance the energy body. Now, when we talk about the energy body, that's a recognition that within a human being, you have a physical body, and you also have an energy body. The energy body is like the part of your body that's composed of various systems that control the flow of life force in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Life force is what makes us alive. Without life force, the physical body would just be a pile of dust, you know, because that's what happens to it. When you die, your body goes back to the earth, and your body is composed of the elements of the earth. That's why we use food that comes from the earth in order to nourish the body. But the main nourishment of the body is from the breath. It's from the air that we breathe. It's the energy of life force, which is contained within the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that air, or that life force within the air, is what circulates through the non-physical body. I call it the astral body, or I call it the bioenergetic body. And that bioenergetic body is not a physical entity. It's invisible. And it exists on a non-physical level. But the physical body is in existence because of the existence of the non-physical body. So the physical body is a manifestation of this bioenergetic body. Okay? And the bioenergetic body, it has different systems, and it has different organs, just like the physical body does. And those systems and those organs are in the same approximate places that major parts of the physical body are located. And energy moves and circulates through those. So commonly in yoga, those systems are called the chakras. So most anybody has heard of the word chakra. And we say that, and it is said that we have 7 primary chakras. And they line up with the spine. They correspond to the different places in the body that line up to the nerve plexuses, which are the major areas where nerves are located to provide function to specific strategic parts of the body. So they start at the base of the spine, and they go all the way up to the crown of the head. We also have chakras in the palms of the hands, in the bottoms of the feet, in our fingertips, and in the tips of our toes. We also have chakras in the back of the head. So we have many. So we have more than just seven chakras, but we have seven primary ones. And then we also have energy channels, which are called meridians. In yoga, in Chinese medicine, they call them meridians. In Indian yoga, they use the word nadis, N-A-D-I-S, nadis. But those are simply energy channels, vessels through which energy flows. And again, these exist on a non-physical level. But a person who is trained on a spiritual level or who is very sensitive on a spiritual level can actually see the energy that these different systems and organs emit, and that energy is called the aura. So, like your grandma down in Mississippi, she might be able to see your aura, right? Because she sort of lived her life in a way where she's in harmony with nature. You know, the older people, children can see auras, or people when they start to learn how to meditate. You know, when they start to become just sensitive or they become more psychic, they can see and perceive the aura of people. And we always are able to feel the auras of people because sometimes a person comes into the room and you can feel their energy because we commonly say, oh, that person has a negative vibe or that person has a good vibe. You can pick up that energy from the person, and that energy that you're picking up is not just an impression, it's an actual tangible force which is emanating from that person, which your person is able to perceive. And the more trained your mind is, the more you're able to interpret that. So that's sort of like my answer to your question. Hope I didn't go on too long.
you covered a very good portion of that, and you definitely gave an in-depth, you know, answer, and that's great. I'd like to remind everyone that we have 28 minutes left on the call, so I'd like to open up the floor to anybody if they have questions. All you have to do is raise your hand if you are already on the queue, or if you're listening through via the stream, you can call in at 917-932-8881 and just raise your hand if you have a question or a comment. If not, we'll just continue, with the show. So another question, I'm not sure if you covered this in that extensive breakdown, but I've heard you talk about the principles of Kemetic Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to get into the principles of Kemetic Yoga?
Well, the way I perceive the principles is that they are based upon the laws of Ma'at. And again,
okay.
the laws of Ma'at are principles that the ancestors in ancient Egypt or Kemet put down to say this is how a person should conduct their life,
okay.
You know, and that's where you get the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are 10 of these 42 basic laws, but there's also called the 7 principles of Tehuti or thought.
Mm-hmm.
And Europeans, like the Greeks, they call these 7 principles Hermetic philosophy,
mm-hmm.
based upon their name for Tehuti, which is Hermes. So they call them. They call it Hermetic laws, and it's that there are 7 of them. And these 7 laws are also ones that we teach in terms of Kemetic Yoga to help people to be able to understand how the universe is structured and how things operate in the universe on both a scientific level and physical level, as well as on a spiritual level, because the spirit and the physical, the material, are all combined as one. So we don't recognize any separation. What affects one affects the other.
Exactly. That's a great breakdown of that. So I'd also like to ask, why is the practice of Kundalini yoga important to specifically Black people?
Well, one of the reasons why, you know, Kemetic yoga, like the word Kemetic,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the beginning we were using the word, we were just saying Egyptian yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to start just calling it Kemetic yoga because I feel like, you know, number one, Egypt isn't the name
mm-hmm.
that our ancestors put on their country. They called their country Kemet. And Kemet means the black land or the land of the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was important that we use the terminology as much as we can of our ancestors. And so also Kemetic yoga, you know, it was formulated, you know, by us back in the 70s to be something that black people can relate to because, you know, back then, you know, which I'm sure is long before you were born, you know, we had, you know, we were in a mindset of revolution, right? We wanted to see,
yeah.
you know, we wanted to transform our culture. We wanted to transform, you know, the political and economic systems and so on and so forth. And so we saw yoga as being a tool that black people can use as a means of liberation. And so we recognize that before you can have political, economic, and all that types of revolution, that you need to have a revolution within yourself. You need to have an internal transformation. Many of the habits and things that we as black people have, you can basically call them counter-revolutionary. Because we do all kind of things that destroy ourselves, and we don't even have to have our enemies, you know, do anything to us, because we are pretty much programmed for self-destruction. So the foods that we eat, the drugs that we put into our bodies, the cigarettes we smoke, you know, and a lot of other things that we do to ourselves. Are very destructive, and so yoga, and so yoga says, well, you know, you don't do anything that's harmful to yourself. You don't do anything that's harmful to others. You know, that's the first principle of yoga. That's the first principle that our ancestors laid down when they talked about the laws of Ma'at, and so on and so forth. And so Kemetic yoga incorporates African-based, black-based principles which are functional to the needs of black people, of people who have the history that we have, of people that who have undergone oppression, of people who have undergone enslavement. You know, the principles and the techniques and the methods of Kemetic yoga speak to that. You know, we don't say, you know, we're not trying to get anybody to speak Sanskrit. But when you practice Indian yoga or most other so-called mainstream yoga, they want you to learn how to say the different positions using a foreign language, which is Sanskrit. And Sanskrit is the language that they speak in India. And so it's like, why do I need to say bend down and touch the floor in a foreign language, but I could just say bend down and touch the floor?
Yeah.
Why not to say it in Sanskrit? It's just Sanskrit. Is something holy or sacred about that. And so a lot of black people intrinsically, whether they're conscious of it or not, they sort of shy away from, wanting to participate in yoga because they feel, because it has a foreign feel to them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so... We just say everything in English, or we use ancient Kemetic terms, you know, and phraseology, which is more, in tune to, it's more in tune on a vibrational level to our spirit.
Yeah.
You know, so
well, we do have a caller with their hand raised on the queue, so I'd like to bring that caller in and let them ask their question, if you don't mind. So we're
going to
get that caller in. Caller from the 313 area code, you are on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have a question or comment?
Hotep Queen and Hotep Master Yusir. This is Brother Greg from Detroit. How y'all doing tonight?
We are doing wonderful.
And I'm doing great. I knew who it was when you said 313 area code. From Detroit.
Yeah, Tay, I'm glad you got Master. No, not a question. Just to say, I'm glad that you got Brother Yusir on your show, and you do. I love your show, and I'm glad he's on here presenting the material. And I am a student of his, and people should get involved in the Kamaya Yoga movement because it's good to connect that with the ancestors, the body, mind, and spirit. It can help you out with a lot of physical ailments, mental ailments, and spiritual alignment as well.
Yes, and very, very true. And thank you, Brother Greg, for coming on and sharing your experience and doing what you deal with. You know, I've definitely seen you, and you've been an inspiration to me.
Uh-oh.
And get down, you know, with the Kamaya Yoga and Lama Love Bang. So thank you for coming on and sharing.
Well, Greg is he's an inspiration to me, too, because we have a Kamaya Yoga Instructors page, and he is a certified Kamaya Yoga instructor, and he's continuously posting pictures of himself, you know, as he progresses in his practices. So he has moved from one stage of development into a whole other stage of development, and not just in his ability to do movements and postures, but also in his understanding of the science and his mastery of himself. So I have to give big kudos to that brother.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling in, and don't be a stranger. You can always come and call in on Conversations with the Queen. You're always a welcome guest.
All right, thank you.
All right, peace.
Hold up.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were just reiterating and like going over how it's important, the importance of Kamaya Yoga for Black people, and I think you were wrapping that aspect up.
Yeah, well, I was pretty much finished. Just to say that you know, a lot of times I get calls from people every day. I was speaking to a sister today. And she was telling me about her experiences in yoga classes where she is like the only or one of the few Black people.
Exactly.
And she talks about how she feels out of place, or how it's not that she feels out of place, but that the energy that's around her that people are exuding towards her makes her feel out of place or may make her feel unwanted. This same individual, she was talking about how she had taken teacher training courses, you know, in the mainstream commercial yoga studios, and how it was mostly felt like it was just a transaction. We're going to charge you like thousands of dollars to become certified yoga instructor, and it's really just a sort of you know, there was no type of sense of community or sense of togetherness and oneness with this, because it was more just a commercial transaction. And so with Kamaya Yoga and with yoga skills, number one, we don't charge as much money, you know, for anything that we do, you know. So our teacher certification course is inexpensive, and the workshops that we do, we try to keep them at a low price compared to what other people are charging, and when you become part of our family, either as a yoga practitioner or as an instructor, you're like a part of a network, and you're connected to other like-minded people, and we support each other, we communicate with each other, we have different events where people can come, we have in November of this year, I think it works first weekend of November, we're going to have something called Soul Yoga Fest. And we've had these festivals on a smaller level in different places, you know, such as with the, in conjunction with Boca Fest, which is part of the Belly Dancers of Color that we do with Dr. Sunyata Admin in D.C. But we're going to do this year's Yoga Fest in the Bahamas, you know, the first weekend in November. And so, you know, so we have things like that. We're going to also have a Soul Yoga Fest during the summertime in Chicago, which is going to be like a free yoga festival that people of, you know, people who can't normally afford to take yoga or they can come and take these classes for free. You know, we'll have activities for adults and for children, you know, and we'll have a variety of different certified community yoga instructors from around the country coming and doing presentations and workshops and stuff, you know. So, what we're trying to do with Chemetic Yoga, yeah, we're trying to, you know, develop a sense of community and belonging and sense of unity, and also a means of, you know, putting together programs that's going to benefit our children. We want to, you know, we are in the school systems around in various parts of the country. We have a brother, Kameen Daniels, down in Atlanta, who's working in the schools, you know, so. And other people around the country who are doing work for children in the D.C. area and so on and so forth. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. And, again, you know, it's because of community. It's not just like a transactional thing where you give me some money and I'm going to teach you some yoga, you know.
Yeah. Well, we do have another caller on the line with their hand raised. Caller from the 678 area code. You are on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, peace. I'm loving the show and the info, brother. Y'all say you dropped me. I got a question. I hear the term like tantric yoga all the time. I wanted to like know if you like if you are familiar how that really drops in with, you know, comedic yoga. And like, if you did have the info on that, like, how is it significant for us, really?
Well, people have different, you know, like the way the word tantric yoga is used differently now than what it its original intent was. Mm-hmm. Originally, all yoga was tantric because tantric didn't mean, you know, like now when we see the word tantric yoga, we think it means sexual practice. In yoga, for doing different positions, yoga positions in sex, and that's not what tantric means. Tantric deals with the idea that every person has masculine and feminine energy. Masculine and feminine doesn't mean like girl and boy; it means like two opposite forces that operate within the body, that operate within the mind, that operate on a spiritual in the spiritual realm. And so your goal in your practice of tantric yoga is to bring unity and harmony between those two opposite forces. And so there are certain practices that you do in order to, number one, stimulate that energy, number two, circulate that energy, and number three, be able to control and move that energy through your body. Now, those practices can be done by yourself. And so in yoga, the first thing that we do is practices that, you know, that accomplish those particular goals. Now, what happened in India was that you had this concept, you know, I don't have time to really get into the whole history of the transition from tantric system into, you know, what's called Brahmacharya in India. Brahmacharya deals with celibacy. But the original people in India, they recognized that there was a feminine energy called Shakti and a masculine energy called Shiva. And so their goal, these were Dravidian people who were the original African people or black people who lived in India. And so mm-hmm. those practices were all dealing with aligning and cultivating those two opposite forces within the body, because the two opposite forces operate within the universe. Now, once you have cultivated that energy within yourself, once you had developed a certain degree of self-mastery, and once you are mated with a person who you are totally in tune with and in harmony with, then you will start to practice the tantric practices, which is using those energies to exchange that energy with your mate and having your mate's energy balance and harmonize you, and your energy being transferred to balance the harmony and harmonize your mate. So it's a reciprocity. In that practice, men learn how to control the ejaculation of semen from their body, and not only learn how to control it or to stop that, but also how to recirculate, or what's called transmutate, that energy that would have normally been ejaculated and change that energy back into their being, okay? Because what happens is that when people say that they're going to become celibate, they have a lot of stagnated energy that they don't know what to do with. And that's why you see a lot of these different priests and stuff going around messing with kids and boys or whatever that they do, because they don't know how to deal with that stagnated energy. And so you have to also learn how to not only how to like not release the seed, but how to transmute that seed and turn it back into, you know, who you are, and let it return back and nourish you. But to also, on an energetic level, a non-physical ejaculation level, how to have orgasm, you know, when you are engaged with your mate. But what happened in India was that you see a lot of this tantric stuff where you see orgies and you see all these different things. That's a distortion. Yeah. That's a total distortion. These practices are things that should be done along with your mate. But before you even get to that point, you have to practice these things and cultivate this energy within yourself. And so people need to get away from thinking that, oh, I'm going to learn this tantric yoga. It's all about sex. It's about sex with yourself first.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that breakdown. Thank you for calling in, brother. That was a wonderful question. Peace and blessings. So I'd like to remind everybody who is on the or in the chat or listening to us streaming live, we do have 7 minutes left of streaming, but I will continue to ask the remainder of the questions. We will run over a little bit in time, and we can just, you know, come back. You can come back on and listen in on the archives if you missed that. So, ooh, yes. Before we run out of streaming time, I'd like for you to give us the monthly yoga pose for February, which we will have. I feel that it's only fitting that you do it since we're having, you know, a Black History Month special, and I really wanted to dub that. So do you have the comedic yoga pose for the month of February?
Well, since this is February and it's cold outside, well, at least it's cold where a lot of us live. I don't know where you are, but it's cold here in Chicago.
It's cold. Yes.
But,
it's cold. Yeah.
But what I wanted to share, it's really not a single yoga pose. It's a series of poses and postures. It's called Maat Ka, which is M-A-A-T, and then K-A. And Maat Ka is like a flow sequence of kinetic yoga movements and postures. And what it does is that it aligns the spinal column, and it opens up the spine, it opens up the muscles in the back of the legs, it opens up the joint, the hip joint. But most importantly, it causes the movement and circulation of life force in your body. And so it's called Maat because Maat represents balance, harmony, and order. And so it's going to bring balance and harmony and order to your ka. And your ka or ka is your spirit. And spirit is your energy self. And so this series of movements, it helps to balance and harmonize that energy in your body. And so because it's a flow sequence, it's sort of hard for me to say, well, this is how you do it. But if you go to YouTube, I have a free instruction of it on YouTube. And so you can go to YouTube and you can just put the word Maatka, M-A-A-T-K-A. Just go to the Yoga Skills channel and look up Maatka, and you'll find it there. And all you got to do is watch it, and you can just follow along with it. It's not hard to do. I teach this series to senior citizens, to people who have different types of, health difficulties and things like that, you know. And so it's something that's easy to do, but at the same time, if you are a person who's accomplished in yoga, you're going to find it to be very beneficial and helpful also.
Okay. And everybody who's listening in is interested, I will definitely post that in the Conversations with the Queen group as well as on the fan page, so you can all see the information and all the links, and especially all the links and groups that were shared on today's show. So we only have 3 minutes left, so like I said, all listeners who are listening on the live stream, please switch over to calling in, and the call-in number is 917-932-8881. 917-932-8881. All right, and we're just going to finish it up with what tips would you share with listeners who would like to learn more or begin to practice yoga?
Well, the first thing I need to say is that people, especially men and black men in particular, need to get out of their mind that yoga is about having flexibility. You do not have to be flexible in order to practice yoga. If you practice yoga, your flexibility will increase. There are different levels of yoga. If you are a person whose body is not really, really fit yet, you can practice a basic level one, style of yoga, and then gradually and progressively take yourself to a higher level. So you don't have to be intimidated or feel bad, because you can't do all the things that you may see somebody else doing in a picture, okay?
Yeah.
And at the same time, if you're a person who's real flexible, don't think just because you're real flexible that you're really doing yoga, because you could be twisting all up into different positions and stuff. You could be a gymnast. You could be a contortionist in a circus and do those type of things.
Yeah.
Doing real yoga is really how to control your breath and move at the same time. So you try to stay within yourself. You don't try to overdo it. You try to find what your capacity is, and you go to that capacity. So if I say go into a forward bending pose from a standing position, you don't have to be able to touch the floor. You can just go down. You might only be able to touch your ankle. You may only be able to touch your knees, but you just want to be able to do that particular position slowly, with control, and using your breath, using your breathing, and go into it with control, come out of it with control. The first position that you learn in yoga is called the mummy pose, and that should have been the pose of the week. The mummy pose is simply laying on the floor with your hands on your chest, with your thumbs touching together, your upper arms on the floor, and your eyes closed, your tongue placed at the tip of your mouth, the tip of your tongue at the top of your mouth, and you're breathing in and out slowly through your nose. So if you don't practice any other yoga position, you can practice that one, and it'll take away high blood pressure, it'll take away tension, stress, it'll make your mind clear, it'll improve every aspect, it'll take pain out of your body, it'll improve every aspect of your life just simply doing the mummy pose. And the ancient Egyptians, they called the mummy Sahu, S-A-H-U, Sahu. So that's the proper name, is the Sahu pose. But do that, and If you don't do nothing else, just do that.
All right. And thank you for sharing all the help and wonderful information with all my listeners and callers. Is there any last remarks or anything that you would like to add on to the show? Anything that you feel that's important that you didn't cover?
Just to make sure that if people really want to become informed about Kemetic Yoga, to remember the website, www.yogaskills.com, YOGASKILLS.com. You can go there and you can get all the information about upcoming events, teacher training courses that we have, our trips to Jamaica, which we do twice a year, our trip to Egypt, which we do once a year, you know, Soul Yoga Fest, which is when we do it in various parts of the states, like in Chicago, which is free, you know. So just go to yogaskills.com and, you know, check it out or give me a call at 888-599-YOGA. 9642. And so my biggest thing, like I said, my biggest thing right now is just making people aware. So not, cause a lot of people know about Kemetic Yoga, but not enough people know about it. So I really appreciate you having me on your show and having the opportunity to make it more known.
Yeah. And we want to spread the word about it. I mean, like, I'm enjoying the little beginner's yoga that I'm doing, and I'm seeing the, you know, like, wonderful results for myself. So I'm definitely interested in further studying, especially Kemetic Yoga, you know, because, like you said, you get that connection to Africa. You get that connection to your roots and to your blackness. So it feels like it's something you should be doing. And especially when I see my brothers, like Greg, and I see you and your Kemetic Yoga poses, it seems so powerful and regal when my people do it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
so,
because it is.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, it's definitely not to the brothers who's out there and they're thinking, you know, it's just, you know, for women. No, it's definitely not. It's powerful. It's something you want to get into. So thank you for being on the show, and thank you for taking the time out your busy schedule and coming on. Do go and check out the brother, like you said, at his website. All the links, all the information is on my page at Tay Queen, also on my page, on my group on Facebook, on Conversations with the Queen, as well as the fan page, and on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. You have all the links and all the information, as well as an instructional video for Brother Yasir, from Brother Yasir. So thank you very much for coming on the show, and I was so grateful to have you on. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Well, thank you, sister. And, send me your address. I'm going to send you a complimentary copy of my whole set of DVDs and CDs.
Oh, thank you so much. Like, really, thank you so much. I'll definitely do that. All right. So we're going to take it out. Peace and blessings, and definitely come back and make sure you check out Conversations with the Queen every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Central. Starting next week, we will be starting our Black History Month special. We are going to have Brother L on to start the week off right and start the month off right, and we're definitely going to do it up. And also remember that it's been brought to you by blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. We have a plethora of beautiful shows throughout the week. Tomorrow we will be having Here's to Your Health, and you can catch that at 9 p.m. Eastern Central. Everybody for calling in and doing your thing. All right, peace, Brother Yasir.